You got motion if you own a bitch. You got motion if your mama out the trenches. You got motion if you a school for bitch, stuff for them. You got motion if you love a headed and maintain a good mental. You got motion if you got a car and don't waste your bread on fake off and rentals. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Molly Mall, and we are back for another installment of Millennials in Motion, where we give you that real, relatable, and entertaining spill on adulthood, man. Who else do I got in the studio with me today?
Well, what's going on, everybody? Y'all know what it doing, what it don't, what it is and what it ain't, and how we get down. It is your boy Ryan coming from the only place where we juke and jive on I-95 Broward County, Florida, baby.
Crip.
You know it. Y'all do this every time.
Every
baby.
Time.
Why, man. That whole studio, why would y'all not go?
Like, why would y'all
Jermaine,
not go?
Jermaine, why you didn't say nothing?
Y'all know. All right, Jermaine, you go ahead. Y'all go ahead, and then we'll have our guest introduce himself.
All right, man. What's good, y'all boy? It's your boy, J-Love, giving you the spill. You gonna love to hear.
What's up, you guys? It's your girl, Sarah, a.k.a. Timmy Lane, your favorite Nigerian princess from the 773.
Hey, y'all. It's Nyla. Y'all know I don't have no intro, so just act like you know who I am.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Easy Breezy Brianna J, and we back in the studio.
And we not finna play. Girl, say your name.
You forgot it?
No, I just don't like it. I'm still, it's
Bruh, no,
after
bruh.
3 years, it's still crafting.
We got a special guest in the studio today with us, man.
Dono. That's gonna be my intro, man. I was sitting over here trying to think of something so just a light rhyme with Dono. I couldn't think
it's
of it.
It's no right or wrong, as you can tell, bro.
All right, so I'm introducing Dono from the 850.
But yeah, man. So, how's everybody been feeling, man? You know?
Let me go first. Y'all, it was just my birthday.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Y'all want to hear about my weekend?
Sure.
Okay.
How She's going to tell it regardless. Like,
I'm not going to go into detail or nothing, but I mean, I still feel the same. It's just, I'm 22 now, and I feel
yeah, I don't know about 22. You, but I'm feeling 22. Everything what we are.
But yes, I went to Tennessee this past weekend with a couple of my friends, and it was pretty cool. It was a vibe. It was a new experience, and yeah, I had a good time.
What made you pick Tennessee out of all places?
I originally wanted to go to Colorado. I really just wanted to see snow. And it just so happened to snow the day before we got there. So it was still snow everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go to Colorado, but it's mad far. And we drove to Tennessee, though.
Would you say, since your trip, you're still interested in wanting to live there after, or?
Oh, yeah, I'm still moving to Tennessee.
Okay, cool.
Gatlinburg, though?
Knoxville. Wait, huh?
Oh, okay. No, I was asking.
That's
like
where you're staying?
Oh, nah.
Who's in Gatlinburg?
That's like the boonies?
That's like the tourists.
The mountains.
Oh, my gosh, y'all. The mountains was crazy. We got there. It was like, 9 o'clock? And it's dark and it's curves.
It's ice everywhere.
And it's cars coming and it's no rails.
Yeah. Now, that's how the roads be on the mountains.
It was scary.
Yeah,
it was
just like
but
a
was
slope.
It like nice? Was it a vibe though?
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's
Nashville
very pretty.
Is lit. You're going to love Nashville. Nashville is fun.
Yeah, Nashville is fun.
You ever been to Nashville?
I've never.
So I got a couple people from Nashville, a couple people from Memphis.
I've never
too.
Been. Mm-hmm. This is my first time ever going to Tennessee, girl.
My cousin to went Nashville. To the mountains though in Tennessee, bro.
They chicken good.
So we pictured, bro. It was so lit.
Yeah.
Too lit.
It was nice. Oh, I thought they chicken was good. You know the Nashville nice. Hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But their nightlife is lit. Like the strip everywhere be lit every day.
Mm. Every day we lit.
Hey. All right, y'all. So, Bree, you got to bring us in. With your first.
Well, first of all, I didn't tell you how my life
was
going.
I was going to say, nobody else
answered.
I forgot. That's on me. That's on me.
For real, bro.
Right.
That's on me. That's on me.
Go ahead.
How was your life?
Well, guys, I'm about to make my debut as an actress. I'm going to audition for Essential Theater Play.
Ooh. Okay.
I actually asked this guy today in PDR. I was like, hey, you're in theater. I saw that y'all posted this director casting thing. What's that about? And then he was like, what is this about? Then he was like, I actually think you would be perfect for this role. Can you read right now? And I did like a freaking monologue in the middle of PDR.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's called a cold read.
I'm just
a former actor. I just wanted to throw
please,
the term out there.
Please.
Yeah, don't play.
When you going to do a play, bro?
I mean, I could. I just don't be having the time.
Boost his head and get him. No. Anyway, I'm also about to become a martial artist. Is that what it's called?
Black belt.
Yeah, because I'm about to.
You're sick.
First of all, we need to get him off the board because if it was him saying this, he would have clapped and cheered and did a freaking flip. Anyway, yes, I'm about to become a martial artist. I'm signed up for some classes in the rec. And I'm gonna learn how to defend myself.
I know that's right. I need to go.
You
gotta
test the moves out on Jamal first.
Wait, where's Camille?
She had an interview.
Yeah, Camille's not here today, guys.
For her dog.
Her documentary.
She's getting a dog?
No, it's an interview for her documentary, not a dog.
She said doc, not dog.
Anyway.
Sounds good, Bree. Sarah.
I feel like you're being fake.
No, I'm being dead serious.
How is life? Life is good. Life is okay. Like, I'm really basking in the fact that I, like, traveled, like, 15 hours away to go to school. Because today, well, last year, this day is when I found out I got into FAMU and I knew I was going to go.
Mm.
So, it's just settling in.
See,
like, that's so
out
crazy.
On cell cues. Like,
yeah, you should.
Yeah, he was.
Where's the.
My bad.
Fire him immediately.
So, yeah, I'm just like looking back how like my life was super different because I couldn't imagine myself coming all the way down here for school. I would have thought I stayed at my old school. But yeah, like life is full circle and it changes every single day. So, like, whatever you are in right now, just know that it's not going to be forever and life is always going to change.
Amen.
What?
Don't hype his head up.
Oh man, but yeah, that's good, Sarah. Jermaine.
I know I sound sarcastic, y'all. I promise.
I can't wait till you talk. Right. I can't wait till this is her.
He better have the best sarcastic story ever. And I'm still not going
to like it. Man, I ain't got too much to say. I feel good. Today was a good day and whatnot. So that's all I can say, you feel me?
That's real.
I'm chilling. Another day, no dollar, you know.
Oh, wow.
Not yet, at least, but.
Okay,
it's coming.
Okay, yo. Did you need a dollar?
I mean, I always need a dollar for something.
What's
you
that?
Feel me?
What's that one TikTok sound? Do you
check
need
that,
some money?
Check your Cash App.
Okay.
Sarah Flodge.
She's true. Like.
$100 real quick.
Sarah Trickle.
But nah, I'm good for real. It's been a good day, a good week. A good month, a good year, with some hiccups in between, but we still here.
Yeah, that's real.
True that.
Yeah. Dono?
Yeah, man, I'm chilling, man. Life has been good. It's been going fast.
It's almost March already.
It's almost March already.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this was the longest February ever.
No, it definitely was.
I feel like this February was so long.
I feel like it was so short.
I felt like this February didn't feel like
it's your birthday month, so you're gonna feel like
it had 31 days.
Yeah.
Ryan, your Apple Pay don't work.
Oh, now you gotta hit the Cash App.
See, nah, man, you done missed your opportunity.
Literally, I got a new phone and they scrapped my Apple Pay.
Hey, listen, bro.
Because I lost my other phone.
Jamal, I told Jamal to get some money, bro.
Ask him too many questions over there.
Three ways so fast.
You talk about download Fedbo. I downloaded that app so fast.
Fedbo was sleep.
Man.
Wow.
But I mean, I can't complain either. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boo.
I ain't really got much to say, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, Bree, go ahead and.
No, wait, I wanna know how your weekend was, Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Y'all know.
The people don't like you, boy.
I went to Tennessee, you know, with Nyla and for her birthday trip, and I enjoyed myself. You know, we got some cool videos, some content. We went to, what did we do? We went ice skating. We
Jit was so busy rode about the content, you don't remember what he did for real, bro.
We rode the little air tram thing.
Y'all, you know? No, Jamal, my homegirl brought a camera, and Jamal would not let that camera out his sight. He was the main one recording.
Yeah, because she wasn't going to do it.
So, it was so funny. Every time you turn around, Jamal got a camera in your face.
I'm like, this is essential content opportunities right
you
here.
You do we always need that one person to capture the memories. Yeah. That one annoying auntie or uncle who gonna always take the pictures and all that.
Because she kept the camera in the bag. I'm like, what you brought it for if you ain't gonna use it?
Oh, yeah. She was trying to leave it in the car and stuff. I'm like,
yeah. Give me the camera. Let me snap some pics.
You ain't. I ain't gonna lie. He ain't.
That was nice.
No.
That was
nice. Can't let him win.
Oh, man. But yeah, that was my little weekend. Bree, you can go ahead and bring
take
us
it away
in
now.
Alrighty, guys. So as we move forward in this technology, social media era of life, we can't live without our phones. Can y'all?
No.
No, I got to.
No.
But do y'all think that the awareness that social media can make you rich and famous kind of ruined it? Like, basically how people only make content because they know that it can make them some money or that it can one day get their name out there, et cetera. Because remember back in the day when people was making Vines, they didn't know that they could just blow up one day. Yeah. They were just doing it for fun, authentically funny people. But now we got people on Instagram trying to pose right, trying to make sure they look good so that everybody can make them Jada Wada, Ruby Rose. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, we used to do carousel. Well, did we have carousels? We didn't have carousels, but we used to. How were we doing those dumps?
We had RetroCut and
we had
to do collages.
Yeah. Yes, but we were just posting all this stuff, just random stuff. Like,
we only was one picture.
Just
at
took
time.
My hair down.
Yeah.
Just ate my smoothie.
Snapchat was popping.
Like this to get a, to be honest.
Yeah. Like this to get a rate. And I didn't delete none of those posts. I archived everything so I can go back and scroll and see all the dumb stuff I used to post. And I used
can
to
I
just
see?
Post for fun.
Can I see?
Yeah, mine's
can
still on my
it?
Spam page.
Okay.
I archived like some of the crazy stuff, but like, you know, some of the
and even then, like spam page culture is dead.
Spam be busting though.
Well,
spam
I think
is
it
fun.
Is. I definitely think
it might be depending who you follow.
Yeah.
I don't even be on there though, unless I gotta.
Yeah, and I'll just be on there talking.
And that's what you gotta think about it. A lot of people, when it comes to spam accounts, well, I say even social media, period, everybody has a different intention in mind when it comes to what they're utilizing that platform for. So, like, with a spam account, Nyla, you just go in there to talk your talk and then, you know,
that's
do what
it.
You got to do after. But some people, they go in there to post memes. Some people, they go in there to talk about this person, this, that, and the third. Some people use it as a digital journal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's like, you got to really base it off of what you're looking for. And I think that kind of ties into just social media in general. Social media was created at first just for solely entertainment. Nobody cared about how much money, how famous you would get. That's what made the content authentic. But I think now that social media is so surrounded by how much can you showcase yourself, get viral off of this, make this much business or showcase your business, this, down the third off of this social media platform, no one is really focused on truly the entertainment aspect. The only part of entertainment they may be focused on is how can I entertain this audience to see the overall picture of what
like,
I'm doing.
You know, people are literally like selling like books on how to go like viral and stuff.
And it's just
like,
how to do it. They actually don't know.
And that's so insane to me. Like, you're trying to, like, that don't even make sense.
Like, if you go through like some of those people's accounts, that's all their content is full of how to do such and such, but it doesn't show the essence of what led to them actually understanding, like, okay, they actually know how to tie their shoes because there's videos of them tying their shoes.
I really don't even think people want it for the money anymore. I think people just want a viral moment.
Yeah,
I think that's the
just
main thing about it.
Just be like, yeah, I went viral.
Yeah,
they
like,
see me, they know me.
Like, that's what it is. So people just want to be
up, Jamal.
Famous.
It's always something with y'all, man.
Do y'all think social media is oversaturated?
Yeah,
definitely.
I don't think it's oversaturated because I feel like there can never be enough of something. I think we are always often looking for what's new, and they're bringing us what's new. So it's like, if we say it's oversaturated, is it like, are we tired of seeing what's new? Like, there will never be enough Shein hauls. It will never be enough Pretty Little Thing hauls. There will never be enough shoes and Jordans and hats or whatever the case may be. Because we're always going to look for more.
DIY.
Yeah, we're always going to want to evolve. Because I remember we started doing wigs with Got to Be Glue Spray. Now we're doing it with... what is it? Gold hole and gold bond. So it's like we're always evolving every day.
Why you say that?
No, it's not, because she's totally right. Like, people don't have to even make commercials. They can just put it on social media. Like, they can put any type of content they want. And it's just making it easier for people to push new content, like new stuff. Like she said, I follow Jordans through Twitter. Like that's how I know about all my Jordans. And I know about every Jordan coming out. So
yeah, and that was another thing I was talking to my homeboy about. I was like, bro, like, people don't even watch TV no more. So like, commercials, they really don't even get the same pull as they used to. Because you got to remember, back then, before social media, people used to only be able to turn on their TV. So like, if they seen a commercial and it was something that they liked, it was like, okay, I'm finna call that number and buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now everything is online. So, you know, if you're not marketing yourself on social media, then you're probably not gonna do well business wise.
You're losing.
Yeah. And to the point about the book on like how to go viral, like most of the people, like the famous content creators that we know now, they didn't start with the mindset of, oh, I'm finna make money, I'm finna go viral. Most of them started just off of like, I like recording videos and posting it.
Yeah. Right.
And gradually they built their own audiences, and that's just how it happened. Like, they did it because they were actually passionate about it.
But nowadays, I feel like it's more so, what's a niche I can find that I can really capitalize off of that I'm good at? Or it's not just, oh, well, let me just make this video because I feel like it. And I also feel like people re-record their videos over and over again to get the perfect angle,
perfect
clip.
Oh,
yeah.
So basically you're saying it's just not as authentic how it used to be back in the day. Because I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like you can tell when someone isn't being their true
like
self,
genuine,
and they're just trying to get the views and stuff. But after I see that, I just scroll and swipe past and call it a day.
And when I first noticed it was when those, what's it called? Those couples, the pranks started getting couples. real scripted.
Yeah.
Like the pranks and stuff.
Yeah.
Cause in the beginning, you know, you had the Chris and Queen, you had the Deera and Ken and all that. And it was real cool.
But how many cheating pranks you gonna do?
Exactly. And it just got, it was like, ooh, wait a minute.
But it's like, okay, if I'm making money off of this and I know they like this, why wouldn't I continue to do this? That's basic human nature. So if I was in that couple standpoint, yes, I'll be making fake pranks because I know I'm getting hundreds and thousands of dollars off this, and this is how I'm gonna pay my bills. Yes, it might not be morally correct, but we all gotta find a way of living and find some money.
But that just showcased the point more so Bria's asking, if like the authenticity of entertainment and social media, if it's still there. When you got a mindset like that where it's like, we know realistically this isn't real, this is scripted, but this is making us money.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of still removes the authentic aspect of this supposed to be for soul entertainment. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
but it kind of just goes off to what she was saying as well. Like, people just gonna find out what works and just gonna keep recreating it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jermaine, what you think?
Nah, I pretty much said the same. Agree with her when she was saying like the YouTube couples and everything. You know, growing up, we used to see like, oh, I put hot sauce or something like that in his food or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or now they mixing like mayo or something and people milkshakes and things like that. It get to a point where I know you know what's coming.
I know you. Yeah.
Well, how do y'all feel about streaming and stuff like that? Like what Kaisenat does? And
well, that's a...
That's like a new form of content.
Yeah, that's live. So I feel like, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible to plan out exactly what you're going to do, but, you know, on live, you're more so improvising to make sure your audience stay entertained. So I feel like that would be something different.
Streaming is too much for me, and I've never got into streaming culture because I'm not sitting up watching a YouTube for 24 hours.
The little, what did he do? How many days?
30 days. It was like a month.
Well, I wasn't watching it, but
it didn't stop.
No, he did it like while he was sleeping, like, while he was showering.
He was taking a shower on
all that.
Yeah, the Spider-Man dude doing stuff while he was sleeping.
But I did like the little clips that would be on TikTok and stuff like that, but I wasn't just actively watching.
But you got to think, at the same time, you may not be actively watching.
No,
but
I know people that were.
But you still see the clips. So it's like, you're still contributing to, you feel me, his income at the end of the day, because you see the clips, you giving the views and whatever. So you may not necessarily be locked in on the stream, but out of those 30 days, you got to think of how many clips they can pull from 30 days worth of just streaming.
And that's not even just streaming. That could be, even you think about radio, podcasting, all those different things as well too. Yeah. You can't you can't just think that everybody who listens to your show is going to sit there for the entirety
of the show
all right, the time, 24/7. Realistically, sometimes somebody may hop on, listen for 10 seconds, 2 minutes, maybe an hour, and then hop right off and tune into something else. But you, the main point is like, okay, you gave, there's that platform for them to at least see it at whatever point in time that they choose. Mm-hmm. So even with streaming, even though particularly you may not sit there all 24 hours, it's there for any moment. Okay, if I'm bored, okay, I could tap in and see what Cassie Nat got going on. I'm doing homework, I need some background music. Let me turn on the streaming for a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel that. So do y'all feel like there's a way that we can bring back like that authenticity to social media, or are we just too far gone?
I think we're too far gone.
As a society, yeah.
I think it's, there's no going back, because you know, it's like once you become privy to something, you can't just forget it.
That's where your oversaturation comes in at, because it's just too many fake people that's trying to do like original stuff too much. They're not keeping it real authentic.
And so, I also feel like that comes with everything that's really popping right now. Like even like the hair business, everybody want to sell hair. Everybody want to do drop shipping and stuff like that because they know that they're successful.
But I was going to say too, I think it's a lost cause because too many people glorify social media and kind of surround their whole life around social media and influence with social media to where, I mean, I don't know, people just lost in their souls now.
And it's crazy. Like even with the cooking videos, like cooking with Kaya, you know how many girls done replicated cooking with Kaya
already?
But it's
already.
Like, why though? I don't get it.
And the thing is, now they get, they going to the extreme. I seen this one girl, she was in a full lingerie set with a BBL, butt booty naked.
Okay.
Cooking.
Okay.
What was she cooking?
I don't even know.
You was worried about the food.
I don't even know. my attention span ain't that big.
You're annoying.
I
think people just take it too far with we take everything too far as a society. Like, and it's okay because I take stuff too far too, but like some stuff gets taken too far. Like, why did cooking with Kaya? Why did cooking with Kaya even go viral?
Cause where do we draw the
line? Okay, you gotta think. You gotta think, right? From now, I'm gonna break it down from the male perspective.
All they wanna do is eat and look at
men are very simple human beings.
Like, she's hot, but like,
but I ain't gonna lie,
she ain't
original.
All that.
She was original.
She was original.
You gotta think.
I used to post cooking videos.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
You like Kaya.
You want to cook like Kaya.
Are you body shaming me? Is it because I'm skinny?
I heard the argument that it was because her food wasn't even all that. It didn't, she was making like grilled cheese.
I swear I don't know what she cooked.
So nobody knows what she was cooking. I know she cooked like steak and potatoes at one point.
Nah, bro.
She got different stuff up there. Y'all ain't for to play with that
girl.
That
wasn't up for debate. Kaya was cooking. That wasn't even up to debate until like she blew up. You feel me? Like nobody went caring what her food tastes like until she started blowing up for real. You feel me?
But
like,
who did she cook with? She cooked with a celebrity.
DDG.
DDG.
But also DDG was telling, like, so cooking with Kaya, obviously she's not sustained. Like, I haven't heard of cooking with Kaya in a couple months now, but that's because she did not sustain her celebrity
that's not
5 minutes of fame or whatever the case may be. And DDG was super angry with Kaya, like, girl, why didn't you capitalize off of your cooking stuff?
I'm gonna say this, like, when it comes to like social media, sometimes people don't expect to blow up. So like, I'll say, even for me, like, there was a time period when I was doing TikTok and then all my videos was going viral and I just stopped posting videos because I realized, like, I don't know what it was. It's just like something comes over you. Just like, bro, I don't want to do this no more. Like,
yeah, Jamal be tweeting too.
Like my tweets too. Like, I stopped tweeting. It was all going viral. And I was like, bro, I don't feel like, because I don't know. Like, sometimes I be feeling like I don't want certain people seeing what I'm thinking or what I'm doing. And then it makes me not want to like make content. But then I have to realize that if I want to capitalize off of the content, I have to be consistent with it.
But I don't think it's a bad thing either if there's certain moments to where you're genuinely just posting certain things, not expecting it to blow up or trend. I think when people, they expect a trend out of something or somebody, they expect them to capitalize it off of that situation. But realistically, I mean, I think that's the beauty or essence of like just content creating, that there aren't any boundaries between continuing what you started or just posting it just to post. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't feel like you're obligated just because one video went viral. Oh, I want to make another one because this went viral. I mean, that's normal too, but if you just say you don't want to, I mean, I don't see what the issue is with that, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamal, I get what you're saying, because I had this TikTok video that it had like 900,000 views on TikTok. And I didn't want to, like, I don't know. Like, it was a story time behind it, because all I posted was the screenshots. And overnight, like, everybody was like, story time, what happened? And I just didn't want to post the story time. I didn't expect it to go viral. Like, it was me getting caught up. Like, I did not want to post it going viral. I'm like, and that's too much.
When it's personable, and it's like, you know people that know you in real life. It's right. Like, do I want people knowing
that's why
about
I can never post my, well, I need to get out of this, but I'd be trying not to post my content on Instagram, because I feel like Instagram is more corporate business. And TikTok is more, I can talk crazy and do more freely.
Which I don't like. That's something that I really don't like. Because, like, even with applying to jobs and stuff, like, sometimes, like, they'll ask you to include.
And then the LinkedIn, you got to make sure you're real good.
Yeah, they'll ask you to include, like, your Instagram and stuff. But, like, my Instagram is a mix of me being professional and me just being me. So, but that also, like, attests to me. I used to always tell my mom, like, because when I first got my half sleeve done, she was like, why would you get that on your arm? Like, what's gonna happen when you try to get a job? And I was like, honestly,
my mom says the same thing about these tattoos on my arm.
Yeah. And I was like, honestly, I don't want to work for a company that's not gonna hire me because of my tattoos. If that's the reason that they don't hire me, I don't need to be working for them anyways. And that's just how I choose to carry, like, myself with life in general. And I feel like I've been doing pretty good. So, you know, just got off of,
man, Jamal, they took DEI away from us, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, bro?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's crazy. Because I feel like that's what got me a lot of places. So, shoot, just to take that away. Well, I don't know, though. Because then I looked on social media and someone brought up another aspect. It said DEI was brought up by Joe Biden, right? That was when he was the president. And prior to that, like, companies didn't, like, stand on that. They didn't have, like, a DEI. So why would I be for a company, you know, that wasn't even trying to stand
trying
for
to do
before?
It in the first place? Exactly. And they also said that it primarily benefited white women. So
I saw that somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
what do you mean?
Like, statistically, DEI was, like, more of a way to bring in, like, white women. Because, you know, like, a lot of times women just can't get hired in certain mm-hmm. places. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not clicking. Whatever. But they discriminate against, like, women in most places. Yeah. So with DEI, they would use that to bring in, like, gay men or, like, white women and things like that. They said, like, African Americans didn't really benefit from DEI how we think we did. So with it being gone, it's like, I mean, if they was gonna hire you, they was gonna hire you. If not, then, you know.
Yeah, but the company I work for, I could tell they would have hired me. I could just tell.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, but
Hey. It is what it is. So I don't know. Cause I mean, I kinda sorta agree. But I don't agree completely, because I feel like it depends on who's orchestrating the initiative itself. That kind of dictates the outlook of how it impacts certain demographics of people within that company or who's looking to work in that company. Like, for example, in my experience, my internship at Boeing, I wouldn't have got that through the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, which is straight up DEI. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And that setting, it allowed me to see a space of black executives in all different departments throughout the company in different sectors, so I could really understand what the job looks like, but also at what capacity can I fill that space with the skills and the knowledge that I have and that I can learn and receive to get in those particular places for real too. So I think it's the outlook on top of who's, I guess, orchestrating those particular initiatives depending on the company. Because I look at it more so as some of those initiatives are set for you to see a bigger picture of what's available, what's what's within your grasp, and based off of what we're showcasing to you, what are you going to do with what we give you, rather than, okay, you can't say that, you can't say that you didn't know about this opportunity and that you couldn't go for it because of your race or ethnicity, because we have programs that specifically showcase those different opportunities and how to get from point A to point B. Now each initiative may be different, again, based off of who the company is, the person who's overseeing the actual program of DEI and everything like that. So I don't know, my thought process about it is it might be a little bit different and skewed from other people, but I don't know, I just don't rock with the whole removing DEI completely. But no, I don't think people should also depend on it too. That's why I don't really be too mad, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like that was the closest to something being invested into people that not only look like us, but people who are different from the normal statistic, if that makes sense.
Because yeah, I'll say this much, even literally, 2 hours ago at 2 o'clock, I had just got off of an internship interview, and they basically, it was primarily white people. It was probably like one black recruiter on the call, but I could tell off the energy that they really enjoyed what I could provide mm-hmm. to them, like to their company, because they're a company that does like music festivals but on cruises. So when they saw, you know, like my resume and the things that I've done, they were like, okay, you worked on music festivals with AEG, so you can bring that aspect to us and help us out, whatever. And they were really involved, and they wanted to know what I had to say and like what I could do. Because you got to think, when you're working for these companies, these white people don't listen to the same music as us. They don't know who's trending and who's popping and what's going to catch our demographics' attention. So they need people that are in the inside of our community to work for them so that we can help them out and make them more money. Yeah. So at the same time, you just got to be able to find those avenues and those spaces that you can help out, because being black isn't always just a hindrance. Like it has benefits, like, you know, yeah, you just got to know where to apply it. That's one thing. But since we're already on the topic of businesses and, you know, DEI, black people, Ryan, you had a question about black owned businesses. So go ahead.
So basically, I want to get you guys' perspective on the idea of categorizing black owned businesses and seeing, do you guys feel like certain black owned businesses, when you categorize it as black owned, do you feel like that's putting that business into a box, excluding it from just the equality of the standard to other particular businesses? Or what do you guys kind of think about when you kind of categorize black-owned businesses as black-owned?
I see where you're coming from with that statement, but from my point of view, I think that when I hear that it's black-owned business, I see, I need to go spend my money there, I need to go support them. But I can see how, are you trying to say that it means that it's a small business?
Not even small, because I don't remember directly the source of where I seen the clip.
It's more limiting.
Like, it's pretty much.
Like, it's a black owned business. What that means, it's just a business.
But that's just like
calling it something different.
I feel like that's just what the times that we're in right now.
It's like saying, it's like saying, you know, that's good for a black person.
I think
it's like uplifting.
Like he's met his peak or whatnot. For a black person, that business, making sure, you know, it's functioning and everything's going right. That's feel like, as a black person, he doing his due diligence. It's like nothing more. You feel me? It's like, compared to a white person.
They expected to have businesses.
Yeah, I
agree. I don't think there's any negative connotations unless, like, you know what happened with the hut place, the chicken leg hut place?
The who?
The turkey
what?
Leg.
Oh, what happened?
In Houston?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, the turkey leg hut place.
This one in Tallahassee.
What is it called?
The turkey
not
leg
no
hut?
Turkey leg.
Where? Yeah. What? In Tallahassee?
That's the name of the place.
One in
it's called
Houston.
It's called Turkey,
there's a big
it's called
one
turkey
in
Leg Hut.
Do y'all know the place I'm talking about?
No. Is it called Turkey Leg Hut?
Yes.
In Tallahassee.
Yes.
The one I'm talking about.
Y'all, they be at Potbellies.
Oh, yeah.
That's
it's a whole. I'm
talking
but
about
But you may seem like it was a whole but, sector but restaurant.
Before she's...
But they have like a tourist attraction that used to be in Houston.
There's
called
one
Turkey
in
Lake
Houston, and like it was owned by a black woman, whatever. And then like they felt their like code of conduct, whatever, so, and they were all on the news like the black owned business, the Turkey Lake Hut got, and it's like, girl, okay, we know it's a black owned business. You don't have to keep saying it. Yes, it got shut down just like other businesses got shut down before.
So there's a place, the place in Houston is called the Turkey Lake Hut. The place in Tallahassee is the Turkey Lake Spot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're two different businesses, but yeah.
But I also think that in 2020, when the Black Lives Matter movement was really at its prominent time, being a black owned business was a plus. Like, mm-hmm. yes, you're a business, but it's black owned, so I'm gonna go there even more now. And I get that y'all saying that, oh, it's like a backhanded compliment, but I don't know. I feel like we're moving to a era where it's like it's important to know which businesses are black owned, mm-hmm. because the way that inflation and our dollar is being used and DEI is threatening people, like, what's Tabitha Brown has her business in
she has
Target,
a hair care brand
with Target,
and
she got a lot yeah. of
even
lines.
Melanie Butler, she has her business, the lip bar, in Target, and they're multi-million-dollar businesses for black owned people. But now that Target doesn't have their DEI regulations, it's kind of like, dang, I don't want to shop in Target, but I want to support mm-hmm. Tabitha mm-hmm. Brown. I want to support Melanie Butler. I don't know. What's y'all take on that?
I remember Tabitha Brown, she made a video about basically
saying still shop at Target because it's going to affect me more.
Yeah, not particularly shop at. She made it plain and clear that where she respects any black person who doesn't want to spend their black dollars at Target. Any period or any company that doesn't support DEI, but she said she still wants everyone to understand that you not still spending your black dollars on the black products that are still on the stand, you how much that's hurting them as a company and just as a entity being black owned, particularly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, this is what I want to say about black owned businesses. I don't like when y'all be boosting these prices and making them ridiculously high. I hate that. I hate when y'all be having this horrible customer service.
Yeah.
I hate
what's not then, Jamal?
Let me see. What else?
Damn, you find the stuff to hate. You sound like
you hate black people.
No. Cause it's like
I hate when y'all yell at each other.
You might as well say you those, people.
Those boys.
You people.
Can't give a brother a discount.
But nah, it's just like.
But it's also like you wouldn't ask Apple for a discount.
That's not even what I'm saying. It's just like, it's one thing. Listen, Apple didn't start off, I'll say, off the initial launch with its products listed at a ridiculous rate. I understand that you have to make a profit. And I understand that you're a business and you have things that you have to pay for, but there's still a level of you want to build a relationship with your consumers.
Yeah.
You can't just come out the gate, I'm charging this and this.
That I saw, though, I saw somebody post this. They were like, I think they sold bags or something. And they were like, I think that the quality of my merchandise is the quality of a Chanel bag. So.
I'm glad you think that. It's not boo.
Exactly.
But sometimes that's what I'm saying.
So, right.
How do you expect them to grow their business expensive.
You grow into
but you
that.
As
Chanel,
a
but you want Chanel, go get it.
But you as a consumer, how are you supposed to know that? If you're just hearing about their brand for the first time, how do you know that their brand hasn't been established for the last 3, 4, 5 years?
Expensive,
but Telfar was $150 when I first bought my first Telfar bag. That bag was $150. Now it's $200.
Exactly.
I was spending $200. Mm-hmm. That's
exactly.
fine. Like,
but $100,
they have built their clientele
a lot. Mm-hmm.
$100,
but
for
it's
a bag?
Good quality bag.
It's not a lot.
Bags
for a
tote bag
you
are expensive.
Yeah,
that holds
expensive.
Up. It's
and it
it's
don't
durable.
Break. No.
So,
that's
so,
a, that's
okay,
a
let me
durable.
Ask you this.
I don't know.
So
my Telfar was $300, so I don't know.
Exactly.
Which one you get? The popper one?
Yeah.
How did you get the
Let me ask you this. So how do you particularly differentiate the brand, like them establishing a price for how much they're worth versus what's realistic?
I think quality. I was literally just about
their
to
quality
about
might not be the same as your quality. So how do
some
we,
of these name brand businesses that are charging an arm and a leg don't have quality stuff?
Oh,
but y'all
so
still
just
buy,
why,
it.
Buy it though.
That's why
y'all
that's
still
why
be
I
buying
nope,
the Balenciagas
nope,
with the they, that look like
no Kardashians.
The Skims that are ripping off the black owned businesses.
Yeah, I don't support those businesses. Y'all still shop at
Lululemon.
The racist Lululemon.
What's wrong with
Lululemon? The racist Tommy Hilfiger.
What's wrong with Skims?
The racist
Lulu. What's wrong with? We know what's wrong with Lulu.
I'm
but what's wrong with Skims?
Wrong with Lulu.
The people at Lulu said that the clothes weren't made for black people.
Yeah. They said they don't want black people wearing their clothes.
But what happened with Skims?
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian made Skims. What do you mean? What happened with Skims? She literally wants to be black and can't be black, so she profits off of being a black girl. She wants the fat. Sorry, she wants the lips. She married a black man, and she blamed Kanye for all of her issues. And then she wanted all her kids to be biracial because that was a cute aesthetic at the time.
She's biracial.
That was a cute aesthetic. It's a lot wrong
with
Kim
Kardashian.
Oh my
goodness! Into this race war. Can we talk about Alabama Barker and Bad Baby?
No, I don't know who that is.
I don't
know what happened. I just know she was. I don't want to talk about that. I don't even know who that is. Okay, no. Back to talk about black businesses. So did y'all hear about how Jada Weta was charging like $150 for some freaking lashes, some clusters?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Girl, why would
you
think? And that's what I'm talking about.
That's what we talking about.
I get lusters for $12, and my clusters stay on for like 2-3 days max. Why would I spend
Amazon?
Why would I
my
spend
stay on
for real? Maybe
mine stay on for
I don't
like
be
a day.
Patient.
I'd be taking mine.
Yeah,
off.
But I just feel like why am I spending an arm and a leg for something that's not even up to that quality? Like Jada, like you be doing too much when it comes to stuff. Like first of all, the lashes don't even have any real curl to it. It don't have any volume or anything. You trying to charge us an arm and a leg. So I agree with them on that point. But it's like Jada, you have to build to that, because when Jada first started selling stuff, she was like on the street selling stuff, and then she built up to a website. And the first thing I bought from Jada, it came in super late. The quality was trash. It ripped. It was a bodysuit. Like, it was just horrible. And I said, I'm never buying anything from Jada ever again. And that's why Lil Baby cheating right now, because your quality is bad.
What?
Oh my goodness.
What?
You need to leave.
But y'all, they be calling Jada so insecure because
she
just
be doing stuff.
Why'd
you
wear
black contacts? And then she got lazy eye surgery. She got surgery on her eyes because she had a lazy eye. Jada, you ain't had no lazy eye. You hate yourself.
She does.
That.
I'm not going
to
lie. Like, she want to change everything.
Jada hates it.
She want to change everything about her body. Like,
I like Jada, but it's like, you look good, Jada. Why do you have to change your eyes? Why do you have to change your body? Why do you have to change
y'all
your face?
Saying that now,
why do you got to get
ass? But like, if when y'all get some bread, it's a lot of things that you probably never thought you would have did, and you probably gonna do it. And that's just what it is. Like, a lot of people that get money, it's just like, yeah, when you broke, I'll never do that. But when you got the bread, it's like,
Black contacts, though.
Literally black contacts.
I feel what y'all saying.
But
it's like
point?
You said earlier, though, Sarah, it's a
point?
Matter of her making money dang near. It's like she's not worried about how this actually makes sense or not. Like,
she hates
with the
herself.
Lashes, but. She making money regardless. She making money. She happy regardless, right?
She got her body done when she was 18 years old.
See,
them lashes
sold out.
Those lashes did not sell out. Who said that? Because I was looking. They did not sell out. No.
The lashes.
If she wanted them, she would have got them if they wasn't sold out.
That's what she said. She made a video and said, my stuff's selling, though. If you can't afford it, don't buy it.
Yeah. And that's why nobody bought them weak lashes. Sorry. Put a marker right there.
What's she doing? Y'all know when Sarah feels very deeply about something, she gonna bash. She gonna go in.
And also, I'm just jealous because I'm not with Lil Baby, and I never had to.
Next episode, we'll be with Kim Kardashian, man.
That song, she thought touchdown.
Yeah, bro.
Oh my gosh, wait.
That song is so garbage.
No, it was a hard song. It was a hard song.
She said it was a bat. It was a bat.
It was to the floor, actually. Thanks.
Bro had a garbage music video, too.
To the floor.
It was a nice video. Madden's coming up. It was a nice video.
That boy not playing that lobby music,
man. But yeah, I would like to the other point about the businesses building up. Like, my family, they started their own pressure washing company. And, you know, when we first started out, like, we probably been doing this for like 5 years. We was doing $40 a car inside and out. But gradually we built clientele. Now we drive to the richest neighborhoods in Miami, and now we charging $250 a car.
And that's fair.
And you know what I'm saying? But that's literally how you have to do it. You have to be able to build your clientele, show that I can produce quality work, and then you start moving your prices up. You can't just come out the gate and say I'm charging $250 and people are like, who is you?
Like yeah. What's your, well, I'm not gonna, you got people to back up your work? Like, why are you even trying to boost up and you ain't did nothing yet?
Exactly.
And when you build a strong clientele, they'll pay whatever. Cause I'll pay that's whatever for anything, for real. And long, cause my hairstylist, she started off doing hair $200. Now she charges me $350 for braids. I don't mind that because I know my braids gonna be in for 2 months. I know I'm gonna get what I need. Like
$350 is absolutely
I don't know nothing about hair. Do you see how full these
braids? But that just proved my point. I mean, Sarah, she been going to this lady for however long, and she's been committed. But Bree ain't never been to this lady. Now she already assumed, oh, because she charged $350, I can't support this black owned business. You get what I'm saying?
I will never in my life pay more than $200.
Dye-lined boho braids. They're not.
That's all they want to do, bro.
Like, it's always gonna be somebody else who
they're
don't know their worth that I'm gonna
every dollar, you
know,
they want too.
They're full. These are full, and I had these in for like 2 months.
And good for her, and good for you. But me,
what?
I'll find me somebody else.
Y'all crazy.
Don't come to Chicago.
Now I know not to.
Oh man! All right, man. So, Donald, we gonna give you a second to highlight. You know what I'm saying? What you got going on? I know you said you got your own business that you're starting up. So you want to elaborate a little bit on that and some of the challenges that you had to face and, you know, some of the successes that you've had.
Yeah. So I just want to touch back on black businesses real quick.
Go ahead.
I feel like we need that box. Us as black people, especially in today's world, we need to have it known that this is a black business. Because we need our own resources, especially with how today's world is changing and it's not really in our favor. We're just making it in our favor with us growing and stuff like that. But yeah, so I can give you a little rundown about my business. Active Investing Group. We're based out of Madison, Florida right now, but I live in Tallahassee, so currently we just throw events and we actually cater as well.
What type of events, you don't mind me asking?
Oh yeah, so this summer we have a weekend long reunion from June 13th all the way to June 15th. We have about three events. We have two parties. One crazy event party that's gonna be Friday. The Saturday is gonna be a nice style prom style sneaker ball. And then that Sunday we're gonna throw a barbecue. And then in July we have a book bag drive. So it'll be our second annual book bag drive. Mm-hmm. And we'll be giving away book bag and supplies and food to the kids. Last year we did like 244. This year we're trying to do like at least 350 plus. So
how long you've been doing,
man,
this?
Shout out to the community.
Shout out to Maul, man. We're not even a year in. So our first event was last year in June, where we did a book bag drive in Madison. So this will be our second event, and we got some huge names coming out. Shout out DJ Tails, and shout out Jamal too. Jamal will actually be there.
Right.
So Jamal will actually be with
Jamal
me.
Jamal ain't saying nothing to nobody. Yeah, man.
Him. Like Jamal, him for real. So like we got Jamal booked out that whole week, bro. We're gonna be paying for everything, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. So it's gonna be some huge people.
Yeah, man. What Jamal gonna be doing?
Jamal, I'm like,
I know he can't DJ nothing. So what he gonna do?
Y'all ain't see what he was doing at the that weekend in Tennessee? That boy was catching content.
Okay.
So that's what we.
All right, man.
Y'all see how he was when he was in New York?
Yeah. So like, we just gonna have him out there doing stuff like that.
That's good.
But this just our first year. Next year we want to go full gear into recruiting. We want to go ahead and get some, get our DJs up, more caterers. Mm-hmm. We want to jump into the fashion world. So I've already contacted a couple people here in Tallahassee about fashion and about music and stuff like that. we're real connected in the music industry around here. And now we're just trying to like branch out. So that's really what we're in. Just really entertainment, really.
That's hard.
Yeah, but
that was a little loud.
Yeah, it was, bro. But like the struggles have been hard, bro. So like last year, we ran into like one of the worst financial struggles of my adulthood. A couple things happened, but we were still able to buy all the book bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought all those book bags out of pocket.
Yeah.
So like that was over 244. And we did get a donation of a large amount of book bags, but most of everything came out of pocket.
Yeah.
That's over $2,000 just given away to the community. And this year we're trying to go harder. So my main thing is just recruiting. Next year is gonna be huge. We need people like Jamal. We need people like you all here in the studio. People at FAMU is really like my huge go-to. As you can see, Jamal and Nyla know me from outside of here. And they can tell you like, I hold FAMU students to like such a high standard because like y'all are really the future of us, you know? Even though I'm not that much older than you all, you know what I'm saying? Like I told you all, I'm gonna pass this down to somebody y'all age and then, you know, hand it off to somebody like that. Because that's how the rotation keeps going, you know? You reach one, teach one.
That's real. I like that. Reach one, teach one.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
For real?
Mm-mm.
What, if you don't mind me asking too, what inspired you to even establish something like this?
All right. It inspired me to do something like this. So I'm from Madison. And in Madison, you just see so many talented people that just don't use their talents for what they really can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you see people who can rap, but don't rap. You see people who can have that business mentality but don't have it. People who can cook, people who can model and stuff like that. And you just grow up around and you're like, you know, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to bring that spotlight to the city. My town only has like 3 stoplights in the whole county. It's crazy. 3 stoplights in the whole county. So to even be on this podcast, they're looking at me right now like, oh snap, bro, he's out there in Tallahassee doing something. This is small to, you know what I'm saying, compared to where we want to be. Obviously, I'm honored to be here. I'm very honored to be here. But like, you know, with everything we want to do, you know, we want to get to that next level and be, you know, kind of big with this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take this over. So my inspiration really just came from the people your age, people like Jamal, people like Nyla, people like Lonzo, the one who cuts my hair. And then I got outside people that's in the city. I have a picture of her, that mixtape Scams and Grams by Esco. Like, that's my cousin.
Mm.
So and then you have people like Boston Richie's manager who's from Madison. You got Quarter Boy King. But then you have the smaller names like Kodrick and Akevious and myself. You know, these names that people are hearing right now and they're like, oh snap, you know, he's saying these people's names. And I know, you know, because you never know who you're inspiring. Like, you guess that you're inspiring the people, but it's people that's looking at you all that's sitting here now, that's looking at this and like, you're inspiring me. So they know that they're being inspired. You're just guessing. And that's what really drives me to keep going.
That's tough.
That's real, man.
But yeah, man, y'all add me on all my social medias. Mr. Walking Chicken on all social
medias. Like Walking Chicken.
Walking Chicken.
Walking chicken.
Yeah, right, y'all heard when D-Lo said walking piece of chicken. Yeah, that's when he said that. He was talking about me.
First shout out I want to give is to my boyfriend.
Aww. Aww. Man, shout out Nyla.
Why I didn't know that was your boyfriend?
Aww.
He was on the original cast of Venom Affairs.
I know, I see the video. I was like, oh my God. He showed me a video of everything. You said what? What Donovan said?
I said, shout out to you for saying that, bro.
But yeah, there's been a lot going on.
And you look happy
from these
like,
past couple days.
Healthy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Love that for me. I love that for me, actually.
No, that's what's up, though.
And then I want to shout out my friends that decided to spend my birthday with me. I really appreciate them because I had like, you know, when you going on a trip, you got your whole lineup of people and then people start.
It just dwindled down.
So yeah, really do want to.
Y'all, if I go on a trip in November for my birthday, y'all gonna slide or y'all gonna BS me?
Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm just saying hypothetically.
I mean, you know my answer, so.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I don't hypothetically.
Wait, you said November?
I'll go. Just send the plans.
People
that's
don't be having no money, so
I'm just, yeah, you let me know in advance. I have the money.
My birthday
to pay.
Early things. I mean, early November, not around Thanksgiving. November 8th. So, yeah. But for sure, keep y'all updated.
That's it. I'm done.
I would like to give a shout out to Dr. Pat. She is the magazine article writing teacher here at Florida Agricultural Mechanical University.
I love her.
She actually makes me want to come to class, and I actually enjoy school when I go to her class. And today she dropped a bomb and said that, I don't know if I can say this. I'm going to say it anyway. Potentially. It's in the works that she's going to be teaching a screenwriting class next semester.
You said potentially.
Oh, potentially. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Hey, have y'all heard sounding crazy?
Oh, I didn't even hear it. Potentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going to be teaching a screenwriting class. And if you know me, you know that I'm very interested in screenwriting and creative writing like that. So I'm very excited.
That's
So shout out to her.
That's lit.
I have no shout outs.
Do an affirmation. Wow, Sarah.
I'm saying,
you
don't like, off you on don't a like good anybody. Note.
I hope I'm not editing this episode, bro.
What did you say?
I said you don't like nobody. It's not like, shout you know.
I do like people, but like is they shout out worthy? You know what I'm saying?
Man, shout out Jada for 150 last.
Jada who? Okay, actually. Shout out little baby first baby mama. Actually, Aisha. But nah, for real though.
You know how bad you gotta hate somebody to shout out the first baby mama?
Just shout out God, though. Like, he's always working, even when we don't feel like he's working. So, shout out to the man upstairs.
Amen.
Oh, that's so real.
Oh, go to me. All right. So, I want to give a shout out to everybody that's in the studio with us today, man. Shout out y'all for coming. You know, already saying. Shout out Dono for popping in and giving us some information about himself and also contributing to the conversations, man. We appreciate you. And also for putting some bread in my pocket, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
man, me too, man. Yeah. I got paid last Friday. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, I got Jamal paid on a Saturday. What? I get you
man,
paid through
no,
cash.
Man, no, that was
what
crazy.
You need?
But
that prepaid.
But shout out to my family, man. Shout out to God. Shout out to Six Man Loud for that amazing internship interview, man. I could tell they was really rocking with the kid. The lady was joking. She was like, "We about to hire you right now." So yeah you already know.
She wasn't
know.
Joking.
I'm already knowing. So yeah, that's
shout
all
out to
I
Jamal
got.
For putting in his 2 weeks notice just now. Nah, but really though, shout out to y'all though. Shout out 90.5. Shout out Millennials in Motion.
Hey.
I appreciate y'all for having me here. Shout out my team. Shout out my mama. Cause if she look at this and she don't hear her name be said, boy, I ain't gonna be able to go home for Thanksgiving.
Shout out to God. Shout out to the crew. I was listening to our first episode the other day, and I was like, dang, we came a far long way. Mm-hmm. But shout out y'all.
Shout this out. Is like season 3.
Yeah.
This
episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, shout out to the crew. Shout out my boy here, bro, Donald. You feel me? And yeah, that's all I got.
Man. Yeah, like shout out to God. Shout out to my mama. And shout out to all my brothers. You know, y'all always got my back. Death for me. Anything. You feel me? Like, I need somebody to talk to, something like that. Them boys all the way there, been strong since.
Tree.
Yeah, tree. You feel
can
me?
Can I do it?
No.
Nah.
You know, yeah. He knew.
You
I,
can do it. You can do it. Let me do the ooh.
Oh, I guess you're not gonna do it. What? Oh, what?
That's tough. Set tripping.
Yeah.
Man, Jermaine knew. He don't know about me.
Yeah, man. I appreciate them boys.
See what Scotty was calling.
I be throwing up.
Hey.
I be throwing
y'all
up.
Funny.
E's.
Y'all really funny. Stop.
But yeah, man. Thank y'all for tuning in to another installment of Millennials in Motion. If you like what you hear, make sure you tune in for next episode. We always gonna keep y'all entertained with the laughs. You feel me? The entertainment.
and some real informational stuff. So, you know, this is the end of today's episode. Oh, we got to do a keyword, y'all. What's the keyword? Chicken.
Chick.
Oh, chicken.
Yes, chicken.
Keyword of the day, chicken.
All right, man. Keyword is chicken. We'll catch y'all on another episode. Y'all stay smooth, stay safe, and we out of here.
Bye. Bye.
Why you say that?
I know my car told.
Millennials in Motion is a product of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.